Hi, I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media.
Treating trauma is not a one-size-fits-all proposition. Some of us can process traumatic events and experiences on our own and return to some semblance of normal life over time. But others relive the event again and again through flashbacks and nightmares, to the point at which their ability to function is impaired. Talking about these feelings and anxieties is a common practice in psychotherapy, but talk therapy can take months and even years to be effective.
Over the past 25 years, a new therapy has emerged, which has been recommended as an effective form of trauma treatment by organizations from the American Psychiatric Association to the U.S. Department of Defense. It's called EMDR therapy, and when used in conjunction with traditional talk therapy, it can improve a patient's ability to face their trauma and reduce their anxiety in a much shorter period of time. Joining us to explain what EMDR therapy is and how it works is Dr. Francine Shapiro, the originator and founder of EMDR therapy and the executive director of the EMDR Institute in Watsonville, California. Welcome to Take Care and thank you for joining us, Dr. Shapiro.
Happy to be here.
What exactly is EMDR therapy and how does it work?
Well, it's a therapy that actually works directly on the way memory is stored in the brain. The idea of post-traumatic stress disorder, I'd like people to understand that this is actually a failure of the information processing system of the brain to digest the information. And instead, it's held and stored in memory with the original emotions and physical sensations that occurred at the time. So for many people, regardless of how long ago the experience happened, the emotions and physical sensations can arise. So what EMDR therapy does is prepare the client in a certain way and then accesses the memory and stimulates the information processing system so the appropriate connections are able to get made. It's not necessary to talk about it in detail or do homework or a variety of other things, but simply concentrating on the memory and working it through with what we call bilateral stimulation of using eye movements or taps or tones allows the brain to come back online, digest the information, and the event takes its place in the past, so it no longer bothers us.
So what you're saying is that it's almost as if the memory has been stored intact, and probably because it was so traumatic, and it just kind of gets stuck intact without having been processed and stored correctly, and you're able to access it just like that and work with it and get it to go and kind of, I hate to say get buried, but process through and settle in somewhere in the brain where it doesn't keep causing residual problems. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct, and it happens very rapidly. The research shows that between 84 and 100% of single trauma victims no longer have post-traumatic stress disorder within the equivalent of three 90-minute sessions. It's basically done. It's become a learning experience rather than something that continues to hit us. But the other thing I'd like to emphasize is that the research also shows that general life experiences can cause even more post-traumatic symptoms than major trauma, meaning that childhood experiences where children can get humiliated, childhood experiences in being in a divorce or seeing fights between mom and dad or getting bullied, various of these experiences can have the same impact as major trauma, get stuck in the brain, continue to cause anxiety and feelings like I'm not good enough, I'm not safe, I'm not in control. And that can hamper the person's abilities for the next 30 years. So it would be useful if people had really compassion for themselves and understand that when they're feeling anxiety, insecurity, fear, depression, these are being caused by these unprocessed memories that are pushing, and they can get help, and they can get help very rapidly. It's not necessary to suffer if they're willing to take the appropriate steps.
So the implication is that we are capable of dealing with trauma and stresses, but that the failure of processing is sort of like a log jam. So it just backs up and we can't move it through. And EMDR therapy enables us to clear that blockage so that the processing moves forward. Our brains actually solve the problem, is what you're saying, with EMDR therapy.
That's exactly right. It's not necessary to talk it through in terms of describing it in detail. It's not necessary for the therapist to tell you how to feel or what to do, but rather by putting your brain back online using the procedures we use with EMDR therapy, your own brain takes over and makes all of the appropriate connections that are needed.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
And we're talking to Dr. Francine Shapiro about EMDR therapy. A question for you, if you would, just briefly walk us through what a patient will experience when they're working with a clinician through this process.
Well, it's an 8-phase process. The first one is history taking. The clinician will talk to the client to identify what are the current problems, where they're feeling like they're not good enough or they're not achieving enough or they're being bombarded again by these negative feelings or thoughts. And once we identify what the memories are that are pushing them, we then prepare the client in a certain way, teaching them specific techniques that allow them to shift their negative thoughts and feelings and behaviors. And all of that is in preparation for then beginning the processing, where the memory is accessed in a certain way. The client is asked, for instance, to hold in mind the negative image that they have, the negative thought that they have, and to notice where they feel it in their body. And then we start the bilateral stimulation, which very often is following the clinician's fingers with their eyes, or it might be a light bar or taps or tones. That research has indicated both taxes working memory and seems to link into the same processes that occur during rapid eye movement sleep. Now, that's when the brain naturally is supposed to process information. Those with post-traumatic stress disorder, however, often wake up in the middle of the nightmare because the brain isn't able to do it on its own. So within EMDR therapy, we are able to take the brain further than it's able to go in sleep. And the client will have different associations come up. They may be starting with that negative image, but then another memory may come up or another connection or another insight. They start seeing it in a different way. And during the session, the client will, again, think of what came up, have the dual attention, the stimulation occur, new associations arise. At the end of a set of stimulation, about 30 seconds, the client is asked, what do you get? They give the new association, and then it continues that way. And at the end of it, what they're looking at is the original event, which might have been a rape, and the client starts out saying, you know, I'm shameful, I'm dirty, at the end of the session, maybe saying, the shame isn't mine, it's his. I'm a strong, resilient woman. Look what I was able to go through and survive. So the same event is now stored in the brain in a different way. It no longer has those negative associations, the negative connections, the negative emotions or thoughts, but it really becomes a platform for resilience. For full description of it and also to learn some of the techniques that we use they can use on your own, there's a book called Getting Past Your Past that I wrote as a self-help book, and the royalties go to 2 nonprofit organizations. The whole goal was to be able to allow clients, people who weren't even sure if they wanted therapy, to be able to use a number of the different techniques and procedures, and after reading the book, they may not need therapy at all.
So I know some clinicians actually will have the patient, the client, assign numbers to the stress level that they're feeling prior to EMDR therapy. As they go through it, they reassess where they're feeling. And some people who come in at an 8 or a 9 get it down to 4 or 3 quickly. And then, you know, as you said, the 8-step process, they'll get it down to 1 or 0. And also, too, the therapy is tailored to a client's specific and unique qualities. Like, I know sometimes some might be lights in the eyes or pulses in the hand. You hold a device that it might move from one hand to another, or it might be auditory. It might be headphones and tones. Is that correct?
Yes, the bilateral stimulation, meaning going from side to side, right to left, back and forth, can be done either with eye movements, following the clinician's fingers with your eyes or following a light bar, or headphones, where you have tones from one ear to the next, or holding the pulsers where it's just like buzzing from one to the other. That ability to go back and forth, again, seems to stimulate the same processes that occur during rapid eye movement sleep. And in that way, the connections start to be made that were previously frozen.
So when we say EMDR stands for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, eye movement is just one of the many ways. The whole idea is whatever it takes to have bilateral stimulation.
That's right. Initially, when I first named it, it was because I noticed the effects of the eye movement, and I published a randomized controlled study with it, so it was named that way. But then working in clinical practice over time, blind people came in for treatment. And so we had to find other ways of being able to do it and found that taps and tones also work. The eye movement has the most research and has been shown to be most effective. But some people who can't follow, can't use the eye movement as well, taps and tones will work fine.
Are there any risks involved?
As long as you go to a therapist who has attended a program certified by the EMDR International Association, that therapist should be trained to prepare the client, etc. And in the hands of a clinician who's appropriately trained, they should be using it safely and easily with you. The difficulty is some clinicians who have not been trained or have not been trained well can sometimes go in too quickly and overwhelm the client.
We're just out of time, but I must ask you to explain if there are people in our audience that don't have access to your book. Is there a certification or a national organization where we can check out credentials or where someone that might be interested can make sure that the person is credentialed to practice the therapy?
Yes, absolutely. That's the one I mentioned, the EMDR International Association. If you go online to emdria.org. There will be a find a clinician there, and they will be able to tell you whether the clinician has been trained by an appropriate program.
Dr. Francine Shapiro is the originator and developer of EMDR therapy. She's a senior research fellow emeritus at the Mental Research Institute in Palo Alto, California, and executive director of the EMDR Institute in Watsonville, California. Thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure.